Blog Talk Radio.
Not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and you're on Blog Talk Radio. For those of you that's tuned in by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. For those of you that's tuning in for the first time, we are an interactive Bible study, and what we do is we come together every Wednesday at 7 o'clock with various speakers around the states, and we just have a good time in the Lord. We just sit at the table and just speak to the Lord, and so often we get encouraged. So often we just come together, just share the Word of God, and it's just been so wonderful this whole year. It's amazing as we think about how fast the time has gone. We're ready to go into another year, 2015. But today we're going to celebrate this day, which is Christmas Eve. And we do thank you. And we'd like to remind you, for those that have tuned in, our mics are open. And if you are tuned in, we'd like for you to mute your mic so that we cannot hear what's in the background as we are on the show. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to dive into the Bible and to the Word of God, and you know, just share this Christmas Eve. We do thank you for taking this time out to join in. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son who died on the cross, Heavenly Father, that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Father, we pray for all the families, Heavenly Father, that are celebrating this Christmas Eve. Father, we pray for peace. We pray for the spirit of peace within the families, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there's health, good health, Heavenly Father. And then, Father, we just ask, Heavenly Father, that everyone would be on one accord as we celebrate this evening and move into Christmas. Again, we'd like to say that we pray that we would not forget what our celebration is about, Heavenly Father. It's not about things. Amen? It's not about things. As we move on, may we give as the Savior gave. Now, I've turned, I had written, put together something else, and my first talk was, I call you friends, let's chat. But, you know, the Lord just laid it on my heart to go with something else, and the topic is joy to the world, joy to the world. Amen? May we give as the Savior gave. And giving as the Savior gave us to give of oneself. Let's not forget about what we're celebrating this evening. Amen. To give of oneself is a holy gift. We give as we remember of our Savior and all that he has given. Let us not forget that the gift that he gave is the eternal life, the eternal value. Along with those gifts, they eventually break or they are forgotten. Those are the worldly gifts. The gifts that we give, forgotten, or they eventually break. And as we think, how much better the world would be if we gave gifts of understanding? How much better would the world be if we gave gifts of compassion?
That's good.
How much better would the world be if we gave our service to friendship as we gave in kindness and as we gave the gift of gentleness?
Amen.
We look at worldly things. We look at worldly things. But how much better would the world be if we change those material things into internal thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Finally, the real joy of Christmas comes not in what we normally do. And what do we normally do? We're hurrying and we're scurrying, just trying to get things done for Christmas. Running around to different stores, trying to get things done before Christmas sets in. We find the real joy of Christmas is when we make the Savior the focus of the season.
All right.
That's the real gift. It's when we make the Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the focus of the season. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, born in a stable, cradled in a manger. He came forth from heaven to live on earth as a mortal. Glorious gospel reshaped the thinking of the world. He lived for us, meaning you and me. And he died for you and for me. What can we, in return, give to him?
That's good.
Our celebration this evening should be, it's about Christmas, but it should be a reflection of the love and the selfishness taught by the Savior. Giving, not getting. Let me say that again. Giving, he brings it to the full bloom of the Christmas spirit. We feel more kindly one to another when there is the Spirit of Christ. We reach out in love when there is the Spirit of Christ, just to help those who are less fortunate.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Our hearts become softened. Our hearts become softened. It should be softened for those who are less fortunate.
Amen.
Enemies are forgiven, friends are remembered, and God is obeyed. The spirit of Christmas, it paints a picture in a window of our soul. As we look out upon the world, this busy life that we live in, it becomes more interesting when we become interested in the people than in things.
That's good.
To catch the real meaning of the spirit of Christmas, we need only to drop the last syllable in Christmas, and it becomes the spirit of Christ.
Amen.
That's good.
May we give out as our Savior came. To give of oneself is a holy gift.
Mm-hmm.
We give as a remembrance of our Savior and all that he has given to us. May we also have gifts that he has, that it has eternal value. I said, may we also give gifts that have eternal value. Not temporary value, but eternal value. And along with our gifts, they eventually break, or, as I said before, they are forgotten. So often we go through the scurry and trying to get things the last minute, or just trying to hurry up before Christmas sets in, and it's soon forgotten.
Wow, that's so true.
How much better the world would be if we gave gifts of understanding and compassion. The service to friends, friendships of kindness and gentleness. This evening, my whole attitude this evening, I had wanted friends from all over to come together just to speak into one's life. To share something special, a gift of kindness, a gift of compassion. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The gift of understanding. I remember you when we went to school together. I remember you when I was growing up. I wish you well, my brother, my sister in Christ. I wish you well. The gift of kindness. The gift of compassion. How have you been doing? I pray that you're in good health. I pray that you have a relationship with Christ. I pray that your family is well. The gift the gift of compassion. When we begin to focus on the eternal things, the spiritual things, those gifts are not forgotten. Those gifts are not broken. Amen? I'm going to stop here and ask, this is an interactive Bible study, and you know how we do it for those of you that are on a regular basis, and we do thank you for just being a part of this. But we're going to open up the mics, because I would like for this to be a conversational piece as we just share the Spirit of Christ this evening. Amen? Any comments? Not everybody at one time. Amen. As we move on, there are a few things that I would like to share with you. And understanding that joy is not an emotion that can be forced, and it cannot be faked.
Mm-hmm.
When we have real joy, that is a joy where there is songs of praise.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been riding in your car on your way to work or somewhere, and all of a sudden you just bust out and began to start to sing praises to the Lord? How many times have you been somewhere and all of a sudden you've just busted out in tears because of the Spirit of Christ? How many times have your heart been softened by someone that you see who is less fortunate, and you become touched by their situation? Joy has to be something that is eternal. It cannot be faked, nor can it be forced. In Psalms 137, 2-4, and Psalms, I don't know why I went to Psalms, because Psalms is really one of the most beautiful collections of poetry in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also, Psalms is also about hurting souls.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting souls who learned how to rejoice.
All right. Mm-hmm.
During that time, there were harps that was played, songs of praise that was played during that time, and it was a spirit of captivity. In fact, let me go to the scripture. It says, "We hang our harps upon the willows," or the leaves, as so to speak, in the midst thereof. The harps once used to accompany the songs of praise and the service of God in the temple. The harps which they had sought to beguile their weary hours and to console their sad spirits in their captivity. And it moves on and says, "For there they carried us away, captive, required us a song, and that they made wail. Sing us of songs of Zion." And 4, "How should we sing a song of Jehovah upon a foreign land?" And in here, what my interpretation was as I searched through the scripture, it was that even there was captivities. There was captivities during this time. And Saul's praise was what was done. That was a form of worshiping and celebrating the joy of the Savior. But here he is. It's a time of captivity, and yet they were forced to sing songs. And the question in their mind was, how can we sing songs of praise in a foreign land? It's like being in your own home and you are taken or forced to someone else's home or someone else's land, and you are asked to perform the things that you did in your home. And the question here is, how can we, the question here was, how can we sing songs of joy and we're in a land that does not belong to us, a land that we are unfamiliar with? We're in a strange land. We're not in our home. We're not in our temple. We're held captive. How can we find a spirit in such a circumstance to sing? How can we do that? How can we feel the joy and happiness under these circumstances? Joy is something that cannot be forced on you. It has to be something that you feel within.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be faked. You can sing a song, and if you are not feeling it within your spirit, it shows. It stands out. It is revealed. And it's difficult for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So joy is something, it's an emotion that cannot be forced, fabricated, or faked.
But can I interject right here? But
sure.
What I'm getting is joy can be purposed. You know, like, you know, when you have a down time, you know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when you purpose yourself to sing psalms, even if it's not, you know, even if you're not feeling it, but and everything is in a feeling, but if you start singing it, that spiritual realm will take you into that spiritual realm.
Amen.
Hey, Amaro Sata. It'll take you into that spiritual realm where the joy gives you strength. The joy lifts your spirit. The joy takes you through up and out of any kind of dilemma that you. So for me, joy can be purposed. I purposely, because I'm feeling down, but I purposely give God praise.
Mm-hmm.
I purposely give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that could be a purpose thing too. I know what you're saying, Brother Elder, I know what you're saying about it can't be fake. No, and it can't be fake. But once you get into that purpose, once you make yourself do it, you can be lifted. And it's no longer purpose, because we've all been there. You know, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Before we know it, we're speaking in tongues and our spirit is lifted and we're up and away.
Amen. Amen.
So we just
Amen.
Thank God. Yeah.
Amen. Any more comments? I love it when you come in and you interject and make it personal.
Yes, because it is. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Moving on. Joy is not dependent upon those circumstances.
Right. Mm-hmm.
joy is not dependent upon our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right back here in Psalms again, 27:5. For in the day of evil he will hide me in his presence.
Ah, that's good.
And the secret of his tent will he keep me concealed. He will set me high upon a rock. 27:6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, around about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices of shouts of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing songs unto Jehovah. Hear Jehovah with my voice do I call. Be gracious unto me and answer me. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. Here, my interpretation there is God, for the time of trouble, for a time of trouble, when I am surrounded by danger, when there's affliction that comes on me, he shall hide me.
Amen.
The word hide means, we look at it as hide, protect. He will defend me. If there is someone or the enemy is trying to oppress me, God will protect me. He will protect me from those who are evil. He will hide me. He will keep me sick. And knowing all of this, I can lift my head up and sing. I can sing joy, shouts of joy. I can sing yea to the songs to Jehovah. I can call upon him because I know that he's gracious unto me. And he will answer me. So whatever circumstance that there is, God is always there with that circumstance that you're going through. You're not by yourself.
Amen.
If someone is trying to hurt or harm you or put you in a situation that is not of God, God will protect you. My brother, my sister, God will protect you. God will defend you when your enemies try to overtake you. God is always there with you. So we're right back to in Psalms. And even though that they were held in captivity, and just as you were saying, my sister, because of your circumstances, it's saying here that even though that they're in captivity and they're not in their own land to worship their God in their own temple, that they can sing praises unto the Lord. Because when they sing those praises, when they lift their voices up, up, when they lift and shout unto the Lord Jehovah, there's, here my interpretation is that they believe within their spirit that God will hear them. God will hear their cry, and he will defend them in their present situation. So it doesn't make a difference what circumstances that you may go through, that you may be in or involved in, God is always there with you. God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you.
Amen.
God will always be there to bless you, but you have to have faith and belief, number one. Number two, you have to have a relationship with Christ. He is your best friend. and you know exactly how your best friend is going to respond when you call for help. Amen. When we pray,
amen,
we believe within our heart that God is going to hear our prayer. God is a timely God, and he's not on the same time frame that we are. So he's requiring us to be patient and know without a shadow of a doubt that he's going to hear. Any comments?
Amen. I have a comment.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I have a comment. We're talking about joy tonight. Mm-hmm. I also believe joy is a lifestyle that you have to possess inside of you, because always said when the enemy comes like a flood, you know, you got to be able to still have that joy. When situations and trials and tribulations come in your life, you still got to possess that joy. And if you have that lifestyle and that joy spirit in you, automatically it's going to kick in when these trials and tribulations come in your life. So it's important to have that as a lifestyle.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So
that's what not just on a one-time basis, but all the time.
But on those down times, that's just when that sacrifice of praise come in. And like you said, Pastor, and you get lifted, you know, because there in my life there's been some down times. And as long as I live in this flesh, this body, until Jesus comes and say, come on home, it's going to be up and down times. And in those down times, that's when we have to, like I said before, purpose, and then we have to push, and we have to push. Pray until something happens, or praise him until something happens, you know, and then you'll be lifted above your enemies. You'll be lifted above those things that are around you. You'll be perplexed, but we're not going to be destroyed because of the joy of the Lord being our strength.
I like to look at that as just being secure in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when you're secure, that means that you can lay your head down.
Right.
That's right.
And have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you are, that you feel safe. Even when you lay down, you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a peaceful conscience of knowing that everything is going to be all right.
And bouncing off of that, and it's going back to what Pastor was saying about a lifestyle and that word of God where it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, yes, that's the safety. When we dwell,
amen,
when we abide in him and he abides in us, that's where that safety is. That's where that confidence and that security is. And no matter what comes, we know, like you said before, Elder, we know in our knowing that he will never leave us nor forsake us, because he promised it. And a promise is a promise. I think you said that last week.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A promise is a promise.
And you know, when we talk about, when we look at joy, in order to get to that point, there are some things that we have to do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't naturally come, my brother, my sister, just doesn't naturally come. There are some things that we have to do. And if we go to John 15:10, it says as this: if ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love.
Right.
And I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then it goes on to say in 11, I have spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than one who should lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than that. You
That's
are
good.
My friends if you, and as you say, as was said before, you have to practice that.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
have to practice that. It, you can't just, whenever you're in trouble, and all of a sudden you have to, you come out and you begin to start to ask for all these things. You
mm-hmm.
have to practice that on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
On a daily mm-hmm. basis. Whatever I command you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It goes mm-hmm. into Romans. It says in Romans is a piece of that, and it says, "Bless them that persecute you."
Yes. Mhm.
And bless and curse them not. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with
those that,
that weep.
Weep.
And not having any chicken eyes.
Amen.
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 Rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is, when we're looking at the joy that we have to have, that means our relationship with others that we come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joy in knowing when someone cares about your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
There's a that's where the church is. The church is one that has an interest in each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a common sympathy, there's a common joy, and there's a common sorrow that the whole church has, caring about the welfare of your fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoicing
that's right.
when they're happy. And weeping when they are sad.
Sounds like a
12-4. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just saying it sounds like a body of Christ. Because when
body of Christ.
There's,
Amen.
Yes, we're supposed to be one.
Amen. Amen.
When one is
that's
being
exactly
blessed, we're supposed to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we start talking about the body of Christ, but if we look in in Romans, it says, "For as in one body we have many members,
yes,
but all the members have not the same office.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Take a lively interest in the prosperity of others. Let
mm-hmm.
it be a matter of rejoicing to you when you hear of the health, prosperity, or happiness of any brother or sister."
Yes, that's right. But so many times sometimes the body of Christ can be like crabs in a barrel. You know, it's like, I don't want to, you shouldn't get no more than I get, or you're getting more than me and I'm jealous, and it shouldn't be any schism in the body of Christ. Because everything that we have, everything that God wants to give to us, it's freely given. He wants to. So I shouldn't be angry with Sister Suzanne and Brother John because they have a big house or they have a ministry going. We're supposed to rejoice with them. You know,
Amen.
We get so caught up in us
mm-hmm.
that we forget that God has it all.
This
Amen. Is his stuff. This or everything mm-hmm. that we have, it's on loan to us. Do we realize that? First of all, he called us to have a relationship with him. He called us to go out there and bring them in who are lost.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I get upset if you're doing something that God wants you to do? Why should I get jealous because you're moving a little further than I am? Are you kidding? I'm going to push you. It says exalt one another. I'm going to push you because at the end of the day, who are we doing it for? We're doing it for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And for Christ we live, for Christ we die, and for Christ we rejoice in the
yeah.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm done. I'm talking too much. I'm done.
Well, you know, no, you're not. No, you're not. This is what it's all about. You know, and if we look at the terminology, iron is
all right.
by iron.
All right.
iron is sharpened by iron. So what does that mean? That means that when you take iron and you take the iron of one person and the iron of another, when you come together and begin to start to help and share and be able to speak life into one another, you begin to start to sharpen each other.
Amen.
You begin to encourage each other. You begin to start to give hope to each other, knowing that you're not in this alone. And being in remembrance, sometimes we forget, being in remembrance of where we are and where we have to get to. Because sometimes we do forget. Sometimes we do lose focus. And it really depends on what are we focusing on. Are we focusing on the world? Are we focusing on the spirit of Christ, the joy of Christ, the love of Christ? Are we focusing on that, or are we focusing on what the world has to offer?
Wow.
Iron sharpens iron. We need each other to continue this race. That's what we're doing when we're on this Bible interactive study. We're sharpening each other. We began to sharpen each other. That's what we're doing. When we come together and begin to share the word of Christ, we listen. Sometimes we can get on here and have to be corrected.
Amen.
Sharpening. Iron sharpens iron. Let me tell you something. If I'm running a race, and if you can tell me a better way that I can run and not get tired, don't hesitate.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Speak life into me. Help me out. Help me out. If you see that I'm running slow, and God is saying that I need to move a little faster, help me out.
Wow.
If I'm becoming slack in what I'm doing for the kingdom of heaven, help me out. Tell me about it if the Spirit is telling you that. Speak life into me. Speak life into one another. That's how we stay alive, encouraging each other, but keeping our focus on Christ. Letting Christ be the focus of our conversation. God has a great work for all of us, each and every one of us, in all four corners of the earth. We don't know where God is going to end up placing you or me. We don't know that, but we know that God has a purpose and a plan. We know that. We know that we have to be encouraged to continue the race, because the race does not go to the swift, but it goes to those that endure to the very end. Meaning that we can't stop. We cannot stop. In John 15:15, it says, I call you no longer bondmen, for the bondman does not know what his master is doing.
Yeah,
but I have
like
called
that.
You friends, for all things which I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That sounds like a friend to me. That's a reason to have joy, of knowing that we have a friend that's keeping us informed of the Father, of his thoughts, keeping us informed of what the Father would have of us, of how we're supposed to act in situations, how we're supposed to govern ourselves. Jesus Christ has led us, through the Word of God, he's letting us know how we are to live our lives, how we are to walk this Christian walk, how we are to serve the kingdom. He's given you to us detailed by detail. But the thing we forget is this is a spiritual warfare. And we have to be reminded on a daily basis that this is a spiritual warfare. So every time that we walk out these doors, we have to be, we have to be armored up. We have to be armored up with the word of God. We have to be armored up of knowing that the enemy is going to try, kill, steal, and destroy what God has imparted in us. So that we lose hope of who Christ is. We begin to start to have doubts. Is God really going to help me? Is God really going to do this for me? Why am I going through this? I hear this often. Why me, Lord? Why me? And then all of a sudden God sends someone in your direction to give you a word of encouragement, to give you a word of hope, to let you know that you're not in this race alone. You're not by yourself. And whatever that you go through, I'm going to go through it with you. So why do you worry, my child? Why do you worry about, in my eyes, those small things to me? Big to you, but small to me. God whispers that in our mind, in our spirit. Don't you know who you are? You are a child of God. You have an inheritance. That is something to have joy about.
Thank you, Jesus.
No matter whatever your circumstances is, listen, I'm the God of all gods. I'm the King of all kings. I am the Lord of all lords. I am that I am. Amen? Any comments? Any 803s, 843s, any comments? Amen. Joy to the world.
Amen.
Joy. We are to have joy in all time. No matter what circumstances we're going through, no matter what circumstances you may be going through, even if you, as you are listening by internet, it does not make a difference what your circumstances appear to be. Let me say this to you, my brother and my sister. God can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Just keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing when you're up. Rejoice when you're down. Don't just wait till everything is all right when you rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the victory has already been won. And you have to know within your spirit, you have to know that you know that you know that you know that the victory has already been won. So you're more than a conqueror. Count it as done. Rejoice because it is done. In Ecclesiastes, he speaks about being overpowered, feeling like you are alone. And it says here in Ecclesiastes that, and if a man is overpowered by one, the two shall withstand, and threefold cord is not quickly
easily broken.
Mm-hmm. So for you who are going through whatever you're going through, don't lose that joy. Christ died so that we might have life and have life more abundantly. don't lose that joy. And whatever you do, connect with another brother or sister of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it says, well, you have two. And if there's two, one can be overtaken. But when you put two together, my brother, my sister, then you can maintain your stance. And
Amen.
When you have three, when there's three there,
that's good.
Let me tell you something about the number three. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my goodness. Greater is
Come
he
on.
That is in you than he
mm-hmm.
that is within the world.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
When there are three, it's not easily broken. So surround
mm-hmm.
yourself with other brothers and sisters of Christ, like-minded.
Like-minded, that's right. Amen. Amen.
Don't go through this by yourself. Don't go through this by yourself. Don't let the enemy take your joy. God wants you to look at that situation. Look at that situation face on. And smile.
Hmm.
A smile, knowing that it will not overtake you because of who
yeah.
you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. We all are going to go through something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be an easy journey.
Mm-mm.
But God has given us instructions, and as we go through our journey, we can go through our journey with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, unspeakable joy of knowing that we're going to get to the finish line. No matter
mm-hmm.
what obstacles come your way or my way, that we're going to reach the finish line. All we have to do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus,
mm-hmm.
on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cross is when everything took place.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity was saved on the cross. And now, Christ sits on the right-hand side, pleading for you and pleading for me, even when we fall short.
Mm-hmm.
So when you fall short, my brother, my sister, let me tell you something. Don't lose that joy. We went to Psalms now thinking, wow, with the Psalms. Why? Because Psalms. In Psalms, David was a man after God's own heart. David faltered and faltered and faltered so many times, but he did not take his eyes off of Christ. He kept asking for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Even in spite of his situations. And when you study about David, you'll understand that. David made more mistakes than anyone could have made. But God saw goodness in him because he
mm-hmm.
continued to ask for forgiveness. And what the enemy will do or the world will get you to do is take your eyes off the cross, and then you begin to stop to ask for forgiveness. You begin to start to take God for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to forgive you anyway. Comments.
No, I was thinking about David, how he was a man after God's own heart, and because he, when he messed up, he always went and asked God for forgiveness, and God looked at his heartfelt repentance, you know, because sometimes people could just say, oh, Lord, forgive me, and it's not really heartfelt, but David, it came from his heart.
Amen.
From his heart. And that's where God judges us, in our heart.
Amen.
You know, because he looks beyond the facade and beyond the outward appearance. And he
right.
goes in. Hallelujah. And he goes mm-hmm. in and he sees the heart. And he and as the heart, what is the word about that? The mouth speaketh, something to that effect. Anyway, that's why David was a man after God's own heart, because soon he didn't make excuses for his sin. And a lot of times, a lot of us make excuses for our sin.
And
you know?
Go ahead. He was so transparent.
There you
go. It didn't matter what other people thought or said. It was about him and his God.
Yeah.
His relationship with his God. So he's going to be, the praise was authentic. When he tore his clothes and danced before the Lord, that he wasn't worried about being dignified and looking like he was so powerful in front of the people. He wanted to kneel before the Lord, you know. And that's the way we're supposed to be. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows our heart. He knows our intentions, and he knows where our commitment is. So you can stand before man and say, you know, and confess sins or whatever, but if it's still in your heart and you haven't been honest before God, that's what counts. It's the Lord sees it. He knows you can't hide. You can't hide.
No. Amen.
Amen. Any more comments?
That's good.
Amen. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, and it's speaking about wisdom. It's speaking about our wisdom and the company that we keep. He that walketh with wise men becometh wise. But a companion of the foolish will be depraved.
Wow.
So what does that mean? That means that you and I, when we walk with other Christians, brothers and sisters, and I spoke earlier about iron sharpening iron. When we walk with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we become wise. And when we walk with other brothers and sisters, it implies love and attachment. We also spoke about the body of Christ. To walk with a person implies love and attachment. And it is impossible not to imitate those we love. You cannot walk with someone and be a perpetrator.
That's good.
You cannot walk with someone and show love without it being revealed. You cannot. You cannot. My brothers and my sisters, it doesn't make a difference what you have done. Christ has open arms and still waiting for you to come to him. But I want to remind you that this is a spiritual warfare. And in this spiritual warfare, you have the good and you have the evil. And if you have been laying with the evil, then when you come to love, then you're going to feel uncomfortable.
Wow.
You're not going to feel good at all. You're going to feel out of place. But until you turn your life over to Christ, you're going to have that uncomfortable feeling. So if you want to get out of whatever you're going through, if you want to change your life, and let me tell you something. Once you change your life, you turn your life over to Christ, let me tell you something. Christ will blow your mind. Your life will never, ever be the same. And you might say to yourself, I can't be that person. Let me say this to you. And as I said, we have nothing but instructions.
Oh, I like that. Thank you.
For we all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. Let me say that to you again. For we all, not just one, I said all, everybody that you hear, everybody that you see, for we all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God.
Amen.
it's going to take an active, it's going to take some action on your part to turn
mm-hmm.
your life around. God looks at your heart. He's not looking at your what you've done. He's looking at your heart. Because, God, listen, your heart reveals it all.
It does.
Your heart reveals it all. You cannot say to someone, I love you, and you don't feel it in your heart. And they sense that. Now, here's the flip side. Here's the flip side. If you choose to continue to walk with the foolish, you will be depraved.
Mm-hmm.
He that walketh with a wise man shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, that's not me saying that. That's what the Word of God says. It's what breaking it down. Shall be destroyed, meaning that you cannot live a life of Christ. And if you're walking with those that don't believe in God or who are not following his commandments. There's another, and it's a proverb that says, show me his company, and I'll tell you about the man. Let me know the company he keeps, and I shall easily get his moral character. So if you want to walk, if you continue to walk the way that you're walking, and let me tell you something, if you want to turn your life around, God has open arms. The Bible says, though I stand here and knock, if any man will open up his heart, open up those doors, open up his heart and come to me, that means accept me, I will sup with him and he with me. And that's what we do, my brothers and my sisters. We're just talking about how we have supped with the Lord and how good the food was. We're just sitting here talking about the food that we ate on and still eating, and it's still good. It still tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
It still tastes good. The Word of God still tastes good. Why? Because over and over and over again, God has showed us our love. Over and over again, God has pulled us out of situations that we didn't want to be in. Over and over and over again, God has let us know that he is always with us. That hope for tomorrow, not knowing if we're going to make it until tomorrow, but there's hope for tomorrow. And in the Word of God is truth. There's peace. I guarantee you that all of a sudden you begin to start to have a peaceful life. You're not going to be worried about too many things.
Mm-hmm. That's
anything
true.
Shouldn't be nothing.
Amen.
I guarantee you that you are going to increase your relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to start to spend time with other brothers and sisters and study the Word. Whatever church that you are near, go to the Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever brothers and sisters that God has sent your way, take some time out. Let me tell you something. There's no greater love than when someone comes and tries to pull you out of whatever situation you're in and show you the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who I'm talking to this evening, if I'm talking to any. But I do know that God wants you to do a U-turn, or you're heading in the wrong direction.
My God. Mm-hmm.
You're heading in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
God still has open arms and waiting for you. And all you have to do is make up your mind, make a choice to live for Christ and not for the world. And your life will never be the same. If you want joy, that unspeakable joy, that's what we talked about this evening. If you want that joy, and what is joy? That means that you can lay your head down and have a peaceful night. Mm-hmm. What is joy? That means that in your conscience, you know that everything's going to be okay. What is joy? Knowing that whatever situation or circumstances that you're going through, that you are secure, that there's safety there.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great feeling of knowing that.
Amen.
That's what we talk about.
Yeah.
When we come together, those are the things that we talk about. Those are the things that we send testimony to. Amen. Any comments?
Amen.
Yes, I have a comment as well. When you're talking about that joy, to keep that joy, like you were saying, how important it is to be in Bible study, study your word. The Bible said that we should meditate day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua 1 and 8 says that we should meditate day and night. In other words,
mm-hmm.
you got to eat this word.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
Eat it. You got to let it to digest in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that will keep
amen.
Joy in you. You know, when you begin to get a relationship with God, I always
mm-hmm.
say get an intimate relationship with God. Get
mm-hmm.
to know him, you know,
yeah.
and he will
yeah.
keep that joy in you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah, we're in the flesh, and sometimes we will have a down period. Yeah,
amen.
We'll get powerful. But, you know, you after you go down that down period for a little bit of time, you realize, I got joy.
Mm-hmm.
Unspeakable joy.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Only way you know
Hallelujah.
That, if you study his word and get a relationship with him, get intimate with him,
mm-hmm.
know
Amen.
Him for yourself. Don't
Ooh.
Just know on everybody what the preacher say or somebody else say,
Amen.
But know
That's
yourself
right.
by studying
mm-hmm.
and getting in the word. And most of all, go to Bible study. That's
mm-hmm.
what Bible
Amen.
Study there is for. You know, you can't
mm-hmm.
just get it when it's preached on Sunday because he's preaching. But when you go to Bible study,
like
that
this.
Pastor is
mm-hmm.
dissecting that word.
Mm-hmm.
He's dissecting it so that you can understand it and apply it to your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
Important to go. And I believe, once again, by studying your word and meditating on the word,
mm-hmm.
that joy will always be there.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, and I want to piggyback off of that, and it's just something that came to my spirit. Sometimes our brothers and sisters do not read the word because they do not understand the vowels and the those. I would say to you, if you are one of those that look at the Bible and you don't understand how to interpret that, you have NIVs.
Mm-hmm.
There are NIVs, this New International
mm-hmm.
Version. And what
mm-hmm.
it does is it breaks it down to English terms that you can understand. Because I remember myself, I can speak for myself, that was me. I didn't know how to read the King James Version. Now the King James Version is the best, that is the best word to read, but if you don't understand that, I would say to you, the King James Version and someone else may lead testimony to another version. But what it does is it breaks it down in English language so that you can understand it. You can understand the words,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the vowels and all of the words that you
mm-hmm.
may not understand.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks it down. But number one, number two, I would say to you, when you get a Bible, get a study Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Get a study Bible. Because it gives you, when you're reading that, if you still don't understand it, it gives you, it breaks it down so that you can read exactly what that scripture or what that subject is about. It gives you a better understanding so that when, you know, the man of God is preaching the word, you know, you can get an understanding of where he's going and what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
Any more comments on that? Anybody want to answer that?
Share the name of
okay.
your study Bible because you have
mm-hmm.
a good one. Share the name of yours.
For mine?
Yeah.
I use the NIV. It's a
mm-hmm.
Life Application Study Bible.
Life Application.
Life Application.
Life Application Study Bible. I like to just to do research, and basically what it does, it gives me, it allows me to go in to be able to do research on whatever it is that I am studying, you know, or I'm feeding on. But it just, mm-hmm. you know, it gives me more information. And it's something that someone told me once before, and I have never let go of it. When you invest in God, God invests in you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. When you invest in God, God invests in you. Now, what am mm-hmm. I saying? I'm saying that I remember, and I'm just being honest here. I'm just keeping it real here. I remember when I first got my Bible, and I only had a couple of dollars in my pocket, and I said, I'm going to get the cheapest Bible that I could mm-hmm. to meet my pockets, whatever was in my pocket. And I had a cousin that told me, from out of California, told me, she said, let me tell you something. If you're going to get a Bible, invest in a good Bible.
Amen.
Invest in a good Bible. And let me tell you something. God will replenish what you put out. And mm-hmm. I found that to be. And let me say, that was over 20-some-odd years ago.
Wow.
Maybe even 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when you want to do anything for God, don't get cheap on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Don't get cheap on God, because it comes right back to you. You'll get it back. God will give it back to you.
Amen. And that, I just want to bounce off of a pastor. That meditating on the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, meditating is muttering. We have to speak that word as well. You know, so many times we just read it. Sometimes it's good to read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to just read, but to meditate is to bring it back to remembrance, to speak it out, to mutter it. It's almost like people that
Amen.
Chant. You know, people
Amen.
Chant all kinds of things. Muslims, they say their prayer out loud. It's good to say it out loud because it feeds
Amen.
In your spirit. It controls the atmosphere. And, you know, I'm just saying
Amen.
That.
You know, and mm-hmm. even off of that, even saying it off of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
there's a word, it says, write it down and make it clear so that others can see it and learn it. So
mm-hmm.
writing it down also is a key.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Writing it down. You know, and another thing is, I remember Moody's Bible, one of the things that they taught us was, if you get a scripture, write a scripture down and write what that scripture means to you, and then go back a month later and look and see what you wrote. Guaranteed it's going
wow.
to have a different interpretation.
Wow, yes, sure will.
And that shows the growth. You can see yourself growing through writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Any more comments? Amen. Amen, amen. We pray that, that whatever was said, that you received something from it. This word of God, it's nothing to play with.
Mm-mm.
But guaranteed, when you take it serious, it'll take you a long way. You'll be able to move into places that others cannot. You will be
mm-hmm.
selected for situations that others cannot.
Mm-hmm.
God puts you in a totally different lane, because people can see the Spirit of Christ within you. They can see the God within you. And things began to start to change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just say, it takes time. It takes
yes.
time. Because God is still molding me. He's still
yeah.
molding those that are talking. He's still molding us. He's shaping
yeah.
us for what he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot give up. You cannot turn around and go back.
Amen.
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 We're going to end on that note, and I would like to take a minute, you know, and wish every one of you who are listening by internet a Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, You know, my brothers and sisters in Christ, for those of you that's listening, some of my have not said anything. I'm looking at numbers on here, but we're going to wish you a Merry Christmas also. And do not forget the reason for this season. Any other comments? Anyone would like to bless someone with the words?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to Suzanne and John and to this ministry, and may God continue to increase it and increase the work of your hands. And
thank you.
Blessings, and more abundant blessing. And to all those that are listening, and Merry Christmas.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
We have a couple of
page
4 on here.
Any
comments?
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas to everyone. I know people are saying happy holidays, but believe it or not, I hear more people saying Merry Christmas than anything else.
Amen.
You can't take Christ out of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a celebration. And I wish peace and blessings on each and every household of all those that are listening and those that will listen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Pastor, any comments before we close? Amen. Well, keep in mind, we want to thank you for tuning in. We're New Beginnings Ministries. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And I believe next week we have Elder Herman will be on. And following week after that, we're going from New York to South Carolina, and we're looking at Chicago right after that.
Ooh.
So we're going to just be going in circles and just, you know, and we're just looking to have a good time in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
But we
Amen.
Just thank God for what, you know, for what He's done, you know, through us, you know, to us and for us. Because it's all about the kingdom. It's all of no matter what happens, no matter what you're trying to do, the bottom line is all about being kingdom builders. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. We love you, but remember, God loves you most. Amen.
Denise. Yeah.
I have to call you back because I don't know how to cut it off.
In a crowded room, cornered by the questions in my mind, it's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had